So good morning, Rabbi Sai. If you look in the advertisers, and if you look in the newspapers, the kosher newspapers, you'll see that virtually by every yahrzeit of a great tzaddik, there are people who are offering, organizations are offering, that a minion of tzaddikim will go to the keva and they will daven for you, and all you have to do is send them, you know, 180 prutas, or 180 shekel, or $180, or whatever it is, and then they'll daven for you by the cave of the Chofetz Chaim, they'll daven for you on the various yahrzeit. And of course, Reb Shimon bar Yochai and Lag BaOmer is one of the big ones, and you know, you send your money, and they will be mispalel for you, a minion of tzaddikim, 10 minion of tzaddikim, and you get pictures of, you know, Kupas Ha'ir, or whether it is some other organization, Pilim, or whatever it is, they will do it for you. So, the question is that there is a new one that came up, and that is, and it's, I saw it advertised this time, Yudalad Ior, today, Pesach Sheni, yeah, a minion of tzaddikim will go up to Tveria, to the cave of Remeir Balanes, and will daven for you, in a bischus Remeir Balanes, that you should be zoicha to all Yeshuis and Hatzlochas, etc., etc. And the question is, what has Pesach Sheni got to do with Remeir Balanes? And there are some who want to suggest that, and I'm going to read out the Loshan, because it shouldn't come from me, that this is just a gimmick. Yeah, it's nothing to do with Remeir Balanes didn't die, it's not his yahrzeit on Pesach Sheni, and it's just that they saw how successful Lag BaOmer was for Reb Shimon bar Yochai, so they selected Pesach Sheni and said, let's do Remeir Balanes then, and people will give us money, and we'll be able to raise money for good causes that way. So I just want to write, we haven't got very long because we started late, but very quickly, he says as follows. This is the Shalos Tshuvos, this is the Stechemet. Stechemet writes that about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Yodati mi Yaldusi, Shehu min HaKodom. I know that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, it's not clear that that was his yahrzeit or his birthday, but nevertheless, Lag BaOmer is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That I knew, mi Yaldusi, I knew about it. The Stechemet, I think, lived in Constantinople. But nevertheless, he knew that there was such a thing as what's called. Ach, Bekorov, he says, Noideli, Shechidshu Soifrim Rabbonim Goyne Darenu, Lassus came beyond Yudalad Iyah, that they decided on the 14th of Iyah they're going to do the same thing by Remeir Balanes. Me'en Dugmas Lilul Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Yeah, and he says that in the Shalos Tshuva Shemariah complains about it, says, where does it come from? V'lo yitochem ma'asin yishchadish la'asas kein. Why? Al-kein shalachti kol ha-kosur l'malu l'rabbonu k'disha goyin l'drein shariah k'disha Tveria. I sent a letter to the G'doylem in Tveria, u'v'kashti mihem, she'odienu ma'arom l'akochel l'chadish l'ova me'ata. Where did you get this from? This new minag that we're going to celebrate Remeir Balanes on Yudalad, on Pesach Sheni. While the Rishonim Mitzrayim Fabikim Rabbi Ashkenaz Chacham Zoyv Shalom Meshiv Uvol LaHoisiv, he says, "Umayan Alpik Bugyagoyim." What they're going to answer? And then he says he brings down that there was a tshuva of Rabbi Sfardim, Harav Abu Lafia, and Rav Ma'amo, and Rav Sitahon, Sheminag Zehechelacha. That he says that after the that when they built a Beis Hamedrash, or they built an oihel over the shkeva of Remeir Balanes, when they built the big, you know, there's a big complex there over the cave of Remeir Balanes, then they loimed in Shom Bekvias B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Chanukas Habayis Hoysol B'Pesach Sheni. They made the Chanukas Habayis on Pesach Sheni, and therefore they were kaveh from now onwards that every year Pesach Sheni is Remeir Balanes, and that's why you can go to your advertiser, your newspaper, and send your 180 shekel, and 10 tzaddikim will daven today in Pesach Sheni by the cave of Remeir Balanes, because it's not his yahrzeit. It says nowhere in Chazal anywhere do they tell you when the yahrzeit of Remeir Balanes is, when he died. We don't know that. But they were Kover, in Tveria. In Tveria. Yeah? No, in Tveria, not in Meron. Yeah? So, but they were Kover, it's the day of the Chanukas Habayis of the Oyal.
Started at Torreway, Northwest London, Friday, Pesach Sheni, Yud Dalet Iyah, 1st of May, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, Schlitter of Menos Tvera. Megillas Rus. This week's Torah been sponsored anonymously by Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Yosef Dov Ben Shimon Kol Tzvi Itzkovitz of Ronel Brachot.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Always a cover to speak here. You have to know your crowd, they always say. this Ilva actually about a young guy who took over a business, a big business, and he's coming in the first day to see the company, accompanied by the manager, and he knows he has to make a noise. You know, he has to show who he is. He's the boss. He's the real man. And he walks inside, and the first thing he notices is a man lounging against a wall on his phone, and he stops. He says, "What are you doing? Why aren't you working? Already hanging around? I'm sorry, this place is not for you. How much do you earn a week?" The guy says, $100. He says, "You know what?" Puts hand in his pocket, gives him $7,000. "Take it and get out of it. This is not the place for you." And he's feeling really good. He's looking around. There's 500 people standing there silently watching. He's like, "You see, now they know what a real boss is." Fine. He carries on walking. He says to his manager, "Tell me, what was his job here actually?" He said, "No, he was just the Domino's pizza guy delivering the pizza. He's waiting for his tip." I'm sure he was very happy with what he gave him. So yeah, you have to know your customers. You have to know who you're speaking to and what you're doing in life. So I want to speak a little bit today about Megillas Rus. So when we come to Shavuos, we have a little bit more of a idea and understanding around it. So to begin with, Reb Chaim Friedlander begins quoting a Medrash. The Medrash Rabbah says like this, Om Reb Zeira, Megillah Zu, this Megillah, Ein bo le tumma vle tara, vle issa vle heta. Nothing, no tumma, tara, issa, heta. Vlo manichtava, why was it written? Le lamedcha kama scha toiv le gomne chasodim. To teach you the scha toiv that someone who does chesed receives. An amazing medrash. You have a Megillas Rus, which is full of a Mesiras Nefesh that somebody did. You have a Megillas Rus that discusses a Geirus that someone underwent, where most of our halachas we learn from her. But nah, it wasn't written for that. It was written in La Medcha, the Schar Toiv L'Gomnei Chasodim. And Reb Chaim Friedland and other Sfarim continue, and they try and bring out different chasodim that takes place, which I want to discuss. Two of these main chasodim, I think. The first chesed I want to think about is the fact that who Rus was. She was a daughter, says the Medrash, of Egloin, the Melech Moyov. She was a person who grew up with wealth, with power, with prestige, everything. And she chose to accompany Normie. She chose to live a life of poverty where she's not going to get anything out of her. Like Normie herself warned her, and instead, "No, I'm coming with you." That was one of the chasodim, which we're going to discuss in detail soon. Another of the chasodim we're told is, where the pasuk in Perek Gimel later on says, "Hey tivto chastcha acharoin min harishoin." The second chesed you did is bigger than the first one. The second one's referring to the marriage, the yibum. What was the first one? Says the Targum, the geirus that she did. She did a geirus and she joined Klal Yisrael. That was a chesed as well. So the Sfarim ask a few questions. First of all, who was the person who gained the most from this chesed of geirus that Rus did? Who gained from it? Obviously, the person who gained the most was Rus herself. She was zeicha to join the Am HaNivcha. She was zeicha to become the Eim HaMalchus. David HaMelech, Shleim HaMelech, the whole dynasty comes through her. So she was the one who gained the most. So why are we calling it a chesed that she did? Interestingly enough, in brackets, I guess, just to speak out, the Medrash says that the whole Megillah was written to teach us the chesed, the schar that someone who does chesed receives. If you think about it, what was this schar? She was a princess, a multi-millionaire most probably. She had all the pleasures in life, and she accompanies her mother-in-law, and she ends up picking kernels of wheat as a beggar in someone else's field. That's schar toiv. Okay, so you'll say, wait a little bit. Okay, so we'll wait. Not long later, she marries Boyaz. Oh, you see, she got a schar toiv. A wealthy man, Talmud Chacham. The next day, he's dead. Where's the schar toiv? But obviously, the Medrash says, based on the mission of us, that we always have to, sometimes it could take doiros and doiros. But Rus, as the Medrash speaks out, was zeicha to see David HaMelech a few generations later becoming the king of Klal Yisrael. She was zeicha to see, says the Medrash, even more, Shleim HaMelech. Being moilech alo elyonim ala tachtoinim, the Medrash says. So it did come, but it takes time sometimes. And even with all that she was zeicha to see, the Gemara in Shabbos Kufyud Gimel says, it quotes a pasuk and it says, Vatoichal vatisba vatoiser. It says, Vatoichal, what she had here, this pleasure was only a te'ima. Mamish a taste. But the real stuff is left for Olam Haba and for Yemoisha Mashiach, the Gemara says, where she'll get her ikascha. So there is always going to be a scha toiv. But just because it's chatev, it doesn't mean we have to see it instantly. We live in a world where if it's not instant, it means it doesn't happen. The medrash, you see this medrash is no. If it's not instant, it does not mean it's not going to happen. It means it's going to come at the right time. Anyway, so back to here. So we asked the question, what is pshat here that we attribute this chesed that Rus did, we attribute it as a chesed. L'chayr is for herself. And Reb Chaim Friedlander brings out a very interesting idea. He says, you see from here that the geder of midah of chesed is not what we may think. That means if you look at it from a Torah perspective, he says, as long as I did an action that could be considered an act of chesed, even if I'm the one who's going to gain and benefit from it, it's still considered a ma'aseh chesed. Rus did an action of chesed. She recognized the emes and said, there is a God in the world and I want to follow it. I want to follow him. I want to follow Yiddishkeit. That was an act of chesed. And even though she was the one who gained, but still considered an act of chesed. And Reb Chaim Friedlander quotes the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in Brachos of Samach Gimel on the base. It speaks about Reb Nechemya, who was giving a drosha. And he was Pesach B'chvoy Dachsanya. And he starts off by quoting a posik in Shmuel, Perik Tezvav, posik Vav. The posik there says, Vayoyim Shmuel Elakeini, Shaul Elakeini. Shaul's about to go into war with the Amalekim. And he says, and before he goes to war, there's a family of people living there called the Kainim, Einiklich from Yisroi. And he says, L'chu suru redu mitech Amaleki, leave this place. Why? Penosivcha imoi, because I'm about to wipe them all out and I don't want to kill you. Why not? Va'ato sisa chesed kol b'nei Yisrael, because you did chesed with the whole of Klal Yisrael. What do you mean you did chesed? Says Rashi. Because their Zayda was Yisroi, he lived 400 years earlier. And because of him, Yisroi's daughter, he allowed his daughter to marry Moshe Rabbeinu. And we had the leader of Klal Yisrael, all because of you. And therefore, that chesed is going to save all of you. So Nechemya made a kal v'chomer. He says, Moshe, Yisroi, whatever he did for himself. What do you mean he did for himself? And Rashi explains again. That Yisroi, his daughter's come home, as we know, no one was looking at him, he was in Nidoi. The townspeople were horrible to him. His daughters went to get water, they chased them away. And Moshe Rabbeinu saves them. So they come home and they tell their father the story. And he says, what do you mean? Quickly go and invite him in. Says Rashi, why? Because Yisroi understood that he's got an opportunity now. There's no one in the town who's going to want to marry his daughters. They're in Nidoi. So here there's the man, maybe he'll marry one of my daughters. So he invites him in and that's exactly what happened. So says Reb Nechemya, if that's what happened to someone who did a chesed for themselves, for their own benefit, can you imagine when someone does it not for their own benefit? But says Reb Chaim Friedlander, this is the idea that Mamash was seeing here. That it's considered an act of chesed even when we're not doing it, even when we ourselves are going to gain and benefit from this act. An important idea to remember. Although, to be fair, it's important to speak out that when Rus became a Giyores, she didn't know that she's going to be able to marry into Klal Yisrael at all. She didn't know she was going to be allowed. She was from Moyov, right? Hadn't made the drosha. The drosha wasn't well known yet about Moyov v'loy Moyavis. Right? Pseida, it wasn't there. The Yerushalmi says it was only later on, after she came back. The Medrash says a whole Medrash on it as well, that Boya said to her, it's lucky you came now and not earlier, because earlier you wouldn't have been allowed in. And even Doris later, when David HaMelech wanted to marry the daughter of Shaul, there was a whole discussion about it. Okay, but that's the first idea that we see in the Megillah, the idea that even when we're benefiting from a chesed, it's still considered a chesed. Okay. There's another idea I want to speak about, a beautiful idea. Reb Chaim Friedlander speaks about it a little bit. He says, as we know, Naomi had two daughter-in-laws, Rus and Orpah. Rus became Ema Malchus, and Orpah became the mother of Goliath. Right? And in the end, what happened was, Goliath was Chirif HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech comes and he kills him. And Chazal tell us that you can already see this in their names. They quote the Gemara in Yuma, Pegim on the base, where the Gemara says, Remei was Dayak Bishma, in the name of someone you can already see their essence. And he tells us that Orpah comes from the word Oireth. She turned her back. Whereas Rus comes from the word, says the Medrash, She ruasa b'divrei chamoisa. She saw something in her mother-in-law. She recognized that her mother-in-law was a woman who contained beautiful qualities and midas. And she decided she wants to give it all up, all her life, that she can have back at home with Orpah, and instead go out and support her mother-in-law and be there for her. That was the chesed that she did. So there's a very important idea that's coming out from it, which I want to speak about now. Chazal tell us The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us, La'asid Lavoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come along, and he's going to have a sefer Torah, and he's going to say, whoever was Isaac in this, come and get your reward. So straight away the Gemara says, all the goyim are going to come running, and they're going to say, we did it. The Gemara says they're going to come very buvyo. They're going to come mamish. Everyone's fighting. Who deserves it the most? Right? All the goyim. Why? What's your taina? So they say, what do you mean? We did so much for them. Right? We did loads. We built bridges and streets because of us. And Kodesh Baruch Hu says, them shaitim shibayilam. Why did you do it? Kol ma she'asisim v'soich atzmechem asisim. You did it for yourselves. Right? So the Gemara continues and says that the goyim say, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? Give us a chance. We'll show you we want to fulfill your mitzvahs. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I'll give you a chance. It's go build yourself a sukkah, sit inside it. Sukkah, the Gemara says, is a mitzvah kala. It's very easy. You know, Yerushalmi Bravda used to say, why didn't Hashem give them the mitzvah of esrog? Go buy an esrog and shake it. He says, you wouldn't be able to do that. Because they're going to go to the market, they're going to say, how much is an esrog? $100. It's $100. I'll give you 50p. It's a lemon. Why should I give you? A goy would never be able to understand this concept, he says. So esrog was far too hard for them. So the mitzvah of sukkah. A sukkah is cheaper. Bit of leaves and branches. You can get away with it. So he gave them an easy mitzvah. Lemaisa, what happens is, the Medrash to the Gemara tells us, that Kodesh Baruch Hu lets out the sun be Nartika. It's boiling hot. They come out there and they kick it and off they go. So you see that, you know, they don't want it. He says, well, what do you mean? Hamitztair is part of an asukkah. They're mitztair. They're suffering. So what did they do wrong? Says, well, yeah, but it depends on the way they did it. Because a yid, taka is mitztair is part of. He goes out the sukkah, he's upset. I couldn't manage to fulfill it. But a goy goes out with a zabi eater. He pushes it down. Ah, it's not for me. That's the difference, he says. The difference between a goy and a yid is the ani. The goy is, it has to be for me. I need to have a feel, a pleasure. That has to be a gain for me. Well, that's a goy, sorry. Whereas a yid, it's not about the ani, it's not about me. I want to fulfill what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do. The Gemara of Abasha tells us, a quote in Yudah Mabes, it quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Stoker teroimim goy, v'chesed le'umim chatos. Stoker teroimim goy, says the Gemara, is referring to Klal Yisrael. V'chesed le'umim, but the chesed of nations, chatos. We don't look at it, it's considered a chatos in Aveira. Why? Because they're only doing it for themselves. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the Umay Sa'idim and offered them the Torah, the first question is, what is written inside it? What is the gain that I can have from fulfilling the Torah? Right? What's my gain? What am I going to get out of it? Whereas, and that's why actually the Gemara says, a ger shebol is guy, when a ger wants to become a yid, we tell him certain mitzvahs. Says the Gemara in Yevamos Mem Zayin, what mitzvah do we tell him? Moedin oisoi avoin leket shikho peo maisa oni. We tell him about the importance and the sin of not giving leket shikho peo maisa oni. This is what you're telling a goy becoming a ger. Tell him about the chiyum mitzvahs bezdin. Tell him about the serious averus chamuras. Why dafka these mitzvahs? But the answer is because a goy, like we said, it's all about me. What's my pleasures? And when he's now standing on the threshold and about to accept upon himself to become a yid, we need to assess his inner essence. Are you someone who's able to say, I'm going to give for someone else, even though there's no pleasure for me? Because for a goy, that's asking for a very, very lot. Because the ani, the me, my pleasure, comes before everything. Baal Shem Tov used to say, that says in the Pasuk, Onoichi oimid ben Hashem uveinechem. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael by Kabbalah Satira. Onoichi oimid ben Hashem uveinechem. I'm standing as an intermediary between you and Hashem. Says the Baal Shem Tov, another pshat. Onoichi oimid ben Hashem uveinechem. You know what is the biggest mechitza that stops us from connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Onoichi. The Onoichi oimid ben Hashem uveinechem. The I, that's all about me, my pleasure, what I need. I have to gain from it. Coming back here, says Reb Chaim Friedlander, that if you think about it, you'll see that's what happened here. Because you have an oracle. Oracle was Oyref. She turned to background. She started following Normi. Normi said to her, it's not worth it for you. What gain are you going to get? I'm not going to have any more children. There's no one worth waiting for. I've got no money to give you. It's not worth it for you. Oracle hears and she turns around and off she goes. Whereas then you have a Rus. Rus hears it. And she says, I understand, for me, there's taka nothing in it, maybe. But I'm doing it because I want to be there for you. I want to learn from your ways. I want to become a Yid. I want to do something for someone else. Rus was the one who was able to show this idea of doing something for someone else, whereas Arpa wasn't able to do it. But even more than that, Chazal tell us that the word Rus, one of the Pshatim, her name, comes from the word Roasob. Nesha Roasob Adebi Chamoisa. Chesed doesn't start from the action. Chesed starts from the Roasob, being able to contemplate and think about what can I see and do for someone else long before I'm in a situation where I have to do something. But Pasha, thinking about someone else. It's a very, very important idea, this, because sometimes in life, in many places, if you think about it, it's something which is boilet in many areas. That, if you think about children a lot of times, sometimes you see that for me to be able to be me, I need you not to be able to be you. That means I get my onoichius, the person who I am, through pushing someone else down. And if someone stops and pauses and thinks about what's happening, they'll realize that their whole identity is based on pushing someone else, which is a very dangerous factor. And unfortunately, it's there. It's out there in the world very clear, in the Western world for sure. But I'm talking even amongst us. It's something that we have to remember in the chinuch that we give over to our children. In the idea that I don't need to be someone because you're not someone. I could be someone because I'm someone I recognize in my own koiches, my own capabilities. But that doesn't mean that you as a person don't have your koiches and capabilities. You also have it. So for chinuch is something which is important to remember. A very important idea. I'm going to pause on that one, and I want to go over to some other psukim which the Gaon explains beautifully in Megillas Rus, in the first Pirak. So first of all, the Pasuk tells us that when Normi was coming, when Elimelech and his wife and the children, Machlan and Chilion, they moved from Beis Lechem to stay Moyov, the Pasuk says in Pirak Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, Vayavoyu stay Moyov, they arrived in the fields of Moyov, Vayiyu Shom, and they were there. Says the Gaon, what's the Vayiyu Shom, and they were there? Just say Vayavoyu stay Moyov, they arrived there, full stop. What's Vayiyu Shom? So the Gaon speaks out, beautiful idea. Says that Moyov were known because that they were tzori ayin. They were stingy people, right? Right? They were stingy, they couldn't give out for themselves, right? Now really, someone who comes in as a guest or a stranger in the town, you've just arrived, you're not going to have that middah. Why should you have it? You're not a Moyavi. But says the Gaon, says the Pasuk, Vayiyu Shom. You move there with the intention of being able to be a tzori ayin, of not having to share with others. The fact that you move there, arriving there itself, you already got that teva of a tzori ayin. Vayiyu Shom was describing the essence of what happened to them on their level, that it became a tzori ayin. That's number one. Number two, the Gaon speaks out also beautifully. Now the Pasuk says, that when it goes through the names of her two daughter-in-laws and Pasuk Dalet, it says, "Vayisulem noshim mayavio shema achas orpa v'shema shein is Rus." It was Rus. So I told you one pshat that the Gemara tells us she was called Rus. She roasa b'divrei chamoisa. The Gemara says another pshat. Brachos Vavam Bei says she was called Rus. She rivahu la kodesh baruch hu b'shiri v'sishpachis. Rivah, I think it's an expression of watering. But she adorned. She gave over. She through her came someone who was mirava kodesh baruch hu with shiris and sishpachis. So the Gaon asks a beautiful question. He said, I don't understand. The word rivahu has nothing to do with shira and sishbachis. The word rivahu just means that she watered, she gave something over, she adorned HaKadosh Baruch Hu through her. Right? He says, why didn't you describe it better? Call her shir. Call her shir, a song. We'll say, why is she called a song? Because through her came a David HaMelech who sang shir and sishbachis. But stam to call her Rus, she rivahu, the ikas chosam and asefa, he says. Yeah, I think actually, you see from the word, from the Gaon, yeah, the word shira can be a name. I remember when I had one of my kids, so I was actually planning on calling her shira, and I was in shuls on the way up to the bima. My wife's still not talking to me with this. And someone said to me, it was Pesach, so I want to call her shira. And I met someone on the way up to the bima, and there was a long mishabeirach in these shuls. I said to him, tell me, you know anything about the name shira? He said, I don't know. All I know is that my chavrusa, his child wasn't well, he went to Chaim Kunyevsky for a bracha. Reb Chaim said, what's your daughter's name? He said, Shira. He said, Shira? Nah, it's not a name. And he gave her another name. I said, okay, great. So I went up to the Bima and gave a different name instead. I didn't want to start that. Names is way beyond us. So yeah, but in the Gaon, you see, the Gaon says that Rus should have been called Shir. Right? Not Rus. So the Gaon explains that before this whole story took place, before Rus was Jewish, she kept the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, which means that she had another 606 mitzvahs to keep, which is the Gematria Reish Vav Sof, right? So really, that's why she was called the name she had. But then you can ask, okay, fine, so I understand you want to call her 606 to symbolize that idea that she accepted 606 more mitzvahs. But why Rus? Call her Tor. Call her Veret. I don't know, why Rus? And that says Gemara, because Sheruvo B'Shivis Hishbachos. But there's another layer of meaning behind it. Okay, I'm going to miss that one because I want to get to my favorite one. If we have time, I'll go back. This is something very, very powerful, which I hear a lot from different people. Whether it's, you'll get the idea yourself. The Pasuk says that Naomi dissuades Orpah from coming, but Rus is going strong. So Naomi pushes her more. And she says to Rus, go back. Your sister went back. Go back to your nation. Go back to your God. Leave it. There's nothing here for you. And the Pasuk says that Rus said to her, please, leave me alone. Al tifki bi. I'm coming. And then, fine. The Pasuk Yudches says, "Vateirku misa metzasilo laches." Rus Naomi sees that Rus is struggling to keep up. I don't know if it was a physical struggling that she was exerting, like she was out of breath, or there was a inner struggle, but she was pushing herself. I see you're trying. Vatechda ledaber leho. She stops speaking to her. What does that mean? Just because she's struggling to come, it's a reason for you to stop speaking to her? Carry on. Listen, this is not the place for you. Go. Why do you stop speaking? So the Gaon says a big yesod. The Gemara in Brachas. Okay, fine. She stopped. But the question is, what made her stop? What was it about seeing her struggling that made her stop? Stop being nice. I see you're struggling. Yiddishkeit isn't about nice. So what lay in that pushing? So you're right, but we're going to understand the idea behind it. So the Gemara in Brachas says that the Yetzirah, as Brachas Samachalov says, is doyme lezvuv. The Yetzirah is like a fly. Why? It's Yoshev ben Shnei Meftachei Halev. It's sitting on the entrance to the two entrances of the heart. What does that mean? So the Gaon explains that the Yetzer Toiv has one job. It gets us to do mitzvahs. But the Yetzer Hara splits its job into two, he says. The Yetzer Hara, what it does is, it gets a person to do Averis. But sometimes you get a person who says, no, I'm not giving in, I'm going to fight it, I'm going to overcome it. So what does the Yetzer Hara do? It gets the person to do loads of mitzvahs, and within these mitzvahs, hidden within it, is something which is an avera, and the person's going to fall and do the avera at the same time. So it disguises something as a mitzvah, but when you're doing the mitzvahs which are taka there, there's also averas within it. And he says that shot the Gemara in Sukkah, Nun Beis, where the Gemara says, Yitzhar should Adam misgaber olav b'chol yoyim. Yitzhar of a person is misgaber, it's constantly trying again and again to push us down. Or mischadesh olav. He says, what's the mischadesh? The mischadesh is that, says, you know what? I can't get you to do an aver, I'll get you to do a mitzvah. But within the mitzvah, there's averas involved. Oh. So then we get stuck. Very nice. And now we're told that if it can't get us to do an aver, it'll get us to do mitzvah. So what should I do in life? Every time I'm standing in front of something, should I do it, should I not? I don't know anymore. I thought it's a mitzvah, but maybe it's a atzas yetzahara, it's a ploy to get me to do averas. So how are we meant to continue in life? So the Gaon says over an important idea. He says, I'll tell you what to do. He says, if you want to know if something is a mitzvah or an avera, look at yourself when you do the avera. Look at yourself when you're doing something. You know, someone said to me, I'll give it with the mashal this person told me. Tommy standing in shul, he pushes himself out of bed, the bocha, right? And it's really, really hard for him. He comes to shul, it's so hard, he drags himself, he's standing in front of his siddur. He's saying, you know, he's trying to say the words, I've got no cheshit, no interest, my mind's on my bed. I'm like, you know, I do all this, what's it worth? Seriously, what's it worth? What does it mean? Because Rock's not interested. You know, otherwise he'd give me that koyach to push myself, you know, show me you're interested. Well, listen to what the Gaon says, which reframes it in a completely new light. Says the Gaon, if you want to know if you're doing a mitzvah or not, he says, look at yourself at the time you're doing the mitzvah. If you see that your body is jumping with excitement, it's mamish eager to do it, he says you need to pause and say, one second, what's going on? My body is physical. My body doesn't like spiritual stuff. My body likes sushi and milkshakes. It does not like to get up to daven or to do a shaking of the lulav. If my body's too excited and too involved in it, it means that there's a danger here. I have to stop and think to myself, what is going on? But he says, if you see that your body, you're struggling, and you have to push yourself, and it's not going well, that's the biggest sign that the Yetzer Hara is stuck. It's trying to get you to stop. Don't do this. And it's putting everything at its disposal to make us stop doing it. So when we were speaking this way, I was telling him, if you see that you're standing in shul and you're doing a tefillah, you're trying to do any ma'aseh mitzvah and it's hard, that's the biggest neshika from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means Hashem saying, you're doing something great. This is exactly what I want from you. Of course it's hard. I think they say over, I remember hearing years ago, from Reb Chaim Volozhin, that he had an idea to open his yeshiva, which he opened eventually. When he first had his idea, he went into the Gaon. He was very excited about it. He had planned it meticulously, all the details. He goes into the Gaon and he tells him over his whole idea. And Mamish with a brand, Mamish excited. And the Gaon, okay. Mamish, like, Reb Chaim said, he went out there, he felt Mamish like, the Gaon's not happy. He felt very empty, very cut. Yeah, he wasn't happy about it. So he lost his whole cheshit for it. The Maisa, not long later, he was thinking about it again. He said, I'm going back into my Rebbe. Something's not making sense. And he went back into the Gaon and he told him over the same thing. And the Gaon listens, and the Gaon this time was mamish with hargosha. He was excited. He was like, beautiful idea. And he gave him ideas, gave him a bracha. Chaim said, Rebbe, I don't understand. I asked you the same thing a few weeks ago. And I came out feeling so dejected that I didn't get the impression that you were happy. Now I'm coming and saying the same thing. And this time you're all excited, you're encouraging me. So the Gaon says this idea. He said to me, when he came in the first time, it was too much excitement. It was too much, and I was worried. I was worried that there was an atzas yetzer hara. But after a few weeks, he came back in again. You know, obviously, if someone's gone through a dejection, so, you know, they say much calmer, much slower, much more thought out. And I felt inside you that now the yetzer hara wasn't there anymore. So now I can tuck and give you my bracha. It says the Gaon, that's Pshat here, when Normie saw that Rus was struggling, she was pushing herself, now I can see there's no Yetzer Hara. It's purely Lishmo. You're doing it for Lishmo, for the sake of Hashem, to join Klal Yisrael. You're doing it because you want to be there for someone else. Now I can, Normie stopped trying to dissuade her, join Klal Yisrael. Okay. Salacha, have a good Shabbos.
Why
are you dashing for the name of Rus, which was my name? There you go. Why are you dashing for the name of Rus? Alright, let's go towards the end of the Seder. Instead of the beginning. And there is a short passage which deals with a man who was called the Noikev Es Hashem, and the Pusik relates that he was Hoitze Es HaMekalel Mechitz LaMachne. This man was actually the son of a woman called Shloimez Bas Divri, because she was Mepatpet, she was always Dover, flirtatious woman, forever greeting everybody, smiling, and very, very in with the men. And she had, unfortunately, an episode with a Mitzri, and the Mitzri was preying, P-R-E-Y, on her in Mitzrayim. And the Mitzri saw she was a good looking woman, and Unfortunately, he took out his vengeance on the husband, smashed him up in the fields, made sure he was far away, and then the night he came to do his business with the wife. And this son who emanated from this woman was actually our star here in the end of the Seder. And he, this son, was the Mekalel, and they took him out, Mechitz LaMachne. What was his pretext? What was his tana? What was his problem altogether? So Rashi says that he had a problem with the lechem apunim, amongst other things. But essentially, he said, how can a king have bread which is cold, past tzoinon, to use Rashi's words here? It says here, Rabrach Yoem Mepasha Shelmalu Yutsu Ligle, he scoffed You put the bread there on the beginning of Shabbos, and then you only take it off a week later. Derech HaMelech, can you really imagine royalty? Lechol pas chamo b'chol yom. That's normally they eat warm, freshly baked bread. Shemo pas tzunenes shutish yomem bit mir. So therefore, it's baloney. And if that's not true and it doesn't stand ground, then everything around the Torah is of the same essential disarray and doesn't make any sense to me. And he went and he blasphemed. He was Mekalel, or Mevurach es Hashem, to use the Gemara solution. Mevurach es Hashem means that he came out, he spoke against the Rebbein Shlomo in the most ugly and disdainful way that you can imagine. No, somebody like this, you have to put him to death, but they didn't know how to. Let's not go into the technicalities. But essentially, says the Imre Emes, what was his problem? Lechem ha-punim is essentially exactly that. Punim means a face. And we, like we know from Chazal, k'mayim punim el punim. The way you see somebody and you greet somebody, the way you interact with somebody, that's the way, azoy megriest, azoy emfitme. The way you greet somebody, that's how you can consider their response. And therefore, this bread, which was actually cham kiyoy milokhoi, if you watch, in 9 days' time, they cut into this bread and steam came out of it as if it just came out the oven this moment. It was a week old. And the Eibishter created Nisim, so that the Novi speaks after, the Gemara speaks, that Re'ich Chibaschem Lifnei Hamukaim, look at the affection that the Eibishter is showing you, that every single time you have this miracle, that bread which is a week old and they cut into it and steam comes out of it, it's being freshly baked. So what was this man's problem? About past Senenes. So the Heilige Imre Emes, that can, if it's called lechem apunim, it's kemayim punim alpunim. The way you view the bread, that's the way you have a counter-transference. And the bread looks towards you. So, am kik kalt, zet ben kalt. If you look at something with disdain, then you can assume that the response will be that this bread looks towards you also, like it's called. Am kik varam, and you look with vigor, with frischkeit, and with the chavivas hamitzvahs, then you see that this is, how to say, reciprocative, and then you see this same bread coming with steam and it's warm. So they took him out and they killed him, but they didn't know how to kill him because the mass, there was no halucha as yet, mefereshes, of what to do with the Negev as Hashem. So they decided that in the end, Rebbein Shalom said he's supposed to get skile. But if you look at here, there's another fellow who also got skile. And if you look at the mefoshim, that these two events were actually concurrent. And the other one was, he was a mekoshesh etzim. Mekoshesh etzim, b'yoyim ha-shabos, and he gathered in those etzim, which is a deraisa, eser, and this person was also put together with skila. But the difference is, like Rabbi Shapira noticed, that in the case of the Mekalel, it says, vayirgumu oisoy uven, that they stoned him and with a stone, singular. Asha inkein in Parshas Shlach Lecho, if you see it there, then it says the story of the Mekoshesh Eitzim, and it says, Vayakrivi oise hamoitzim oise Mekoshesh Eitzim, and Vayyotzi oise kolu eido, Vayirgumu oisoi bu avunim. That's plural. Stones. Why does it say there the singular and here the plural? So for this, we have to reach the Gemara. Because the Gemara says that the one who was the Mekoshesh Eitzim b'yom ha-Shabbos was actually a fellow called Selofchot. Selofchot was the father of the famous Benoy Selofchot, Aish Tzadik, Elech HaMensh. How come he was Mechal Shabbos? Because he saw a weakness, he saw a breach in Chil Shabbos Baklal Yisrael, and to be mechazik that, he was prepared to say, you know what, I'm going to show them what happens to a person who's mechal Shabbos, and he was mechal Shabbos l'shem Shemaim. And he went, he was Mekosh Shaitzim, and they took him out to be killed. And like these people became strengthened and fortified against the whole breach of Chilul Shabbos. Memaila, when it came to stoning him, there were people that recognized that this man is not really Mechal Shabbos. He did something which is culpable for death. So Bu'avunim is plural, because some people threw the stones and they said, "Oi, never rachmun etzlan, how can we kill such a person?" But some people were reshum and they said, "Hey, you can see that all along his whole life, the really fellows again, I'm chal Shabbos. He posed like a tzaddik. It appeared as if he was a holy Joe. But really, beneath all that, he was nothing more than a chal Shabbos." And they threw the avunim, their even, mikravuna to kill him. Masha Ein came here, was speaking about the Megadav Es Hashem, and he was Meruch Hashem, was unequivocally understood that this man is a Rosh Gumer. Therefore, the Lushan was Vayirgumu Oisoi Uven, not Buavunem. He was a singular of one stone, because everybody unilaterally agreed that this man is definitely Chayav Misa. Chaps. Zebavunim was speaking about the
The matter
tonight.
Yeah, why not today?
Because of the korban are on the 14th.
Don't
you
idea? Don't
you? Everyone's different.
Who?
Everyone does differently.
I know you have no idea. Okay, thank you.
The Vilna Gaon won't have it at all. So
yeah, very anti.
You've got every view you want.
Yeah, you're very anti.
It's a charger.